Well, it's good to be here on a Wednesday night. Amen. I want to read a scripture from Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 22. After Noah spent some time on the ark, and they finally got on dry land, and the waters decreased. Then here's what happened in verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Remember, he took seven of the clean animals and he offered them on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, even though man's inclination is evil from his youth. And I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. I just want you to notice that the Lord was affected by Noah's offering. Amen? He didn't have any money, but he had animals. And that's what he gave to God. So I just want to encourage you, as you're faithful, to give to the Lord. You know, it's important. If you want to increase in God's kingdom and in God's way, it comes through giving. And giving through your tithes and through your offering. So, Father, right now, as we bring our gifts before you, we bless every gift and every giver, Father. Let it be blessed and multiplied by your hand. And, Father, give unto them good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Cause men to give into their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many of us want to be used by God? Amen? Amen? You know, God's got a plan for each one of us. And he puts us in places and with people, and he calls each one of us, gives each one of us talents and gifts, and ultimately, he wants us to use those things for his kingdom and for his glory. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 14. And we're going to read through 26 to the end of the chapter. And we're going to look at how we can be a yielded vessel to the Lord. You know, sometimes we stop the work that God wants to do in us or through us. And because he always gives us a choice. So let's read, starting with verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So who decides whether or not you're going to be a vessel of honor or dishonor? We do by what we allow in our vessels. Amen? And then he goes on, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Say, I want to be useful to the master. And prepared unto every good work. Flee off also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So he gives us a list here of things that we can do to be a yielded vessel to God. Okay? Had anyone ever come up against a yield sign? What does it mean to yield? When you see a yield sign, you come off a road onto another road and there's a yield sign there and there's a car coming, what do? You give them the right of way. A yield is not a stop, but if someone is coming, you're supposed to defer to them and allow them to go on their way. This word yield, it means to concede or to grant or to relinquish. It means to surrender. Okay? And when we're supposed to yield to God, we're supposed to surrender our way of doing things, right? And we're supposed to allow the Lord to do things the way he wants to do them. Isn't that correct? Okay? It means to move or bend under pressure when force is applied. It means to stop resisting or opposing and agree to somebody's demands or requests. It means to permit or to allow. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul was talking to a young pastor named Timothy, who pastored a church in Ephesus. And he was talking about in a house, there are vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, all right? And how can we be a vessel that God can use? How can we be useful to the master? How can we be available to him when he wants to do something, when he wants to reach someone, when he wants to minister to someone? There's things that we can do to be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You know, preparation time is never lost time. How long did Jesus prepare for his ministry? 30 years. How long was his ministry? 3.5 years. How do we know that? He didn't get baptized with the Spirit until he was 30. And then his ministry went for about 3.5 years, but he spent 30 years preparing, studying, reading. How did Elisha prepare for his ministry? By who? He followed Elijah, right? He carried his bags. He listened to his complaints. You know, he served him faithfully. And then there came a point in time when Elisha was going to receive from Elijah, and he said, I want a double portion. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing, but he said, if you see me go, when I go, you can have what you've asked for. And there were times when Elisha could have stopped following Elijah, right? We read in 2 Kings at the end of his ministry, he said, okay, I'm going to Gilgal, but you stay here. He said, uh-uh, I'm not leaving your side. Because you said, if I see you when you go, that means I'm not going to leave your side. And that was his preparation. That was his training. Okay? So we start here in verse 15. And notice it uses a key word here And this helps us to prepare to be a vessel. That word is to study. Another translation says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God. What does God approve? What does God disapprove of? Would God approve of the words that we use every day? Would God approve of how we treat people? Are we living to gain God's approval or man's approval? Second Peter 1:10, he said this, make your calling and election sure. Say, I'm called. Every one of us are called to something. And we're supposed to make, God calls us, but then we're supposed to make that calling and election sure. We're supposed to get into his word, and we're supposed to find out how he wants us to function in that call. How he wants us to operate in that call. How he wants us to carry that call out. You know, every call is different. But we're supposed to be diligent. Study to show yourself approved of God. I wish there was another way that we could find God's approval, but we got to study. What do we have to study? Got to study the Word of God. We've got to know the Word. Jesus said this in John 17:3. Eternal life is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus whom he sent. Amen? Aren't you glad that we can know Jesus? So we've got to be diligent. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. So we're going to look at some of these things that will transform you into a vessel that is useful to God, effective for God, one that produces things for God's kingdom. Okay? It doesn't matter what type of work you do. How many know that there are people in every aspect of life that need God? So God doesn't just call people to be preachers. He calls them to be carpenters. He calls them to be doctors. He calls them to be teachers. He calls them to be homemakers. And when they do what God has called them to do, they'll find great joy. And you will find effectiveness in God's kingdom. So Romans chapter 14, and we'll read verses 12 to 18. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. Do we pay attention to our checkbooks? You know, when you write a check, you've got to record it, don't you? Because you're guaranteeing that money is going to be there, right? And so you have to make sure, first of all, that there's money in the account. And then secondly, you have to record things when money goes out of the account, right? I mean, if you don't, you could be in trouble. Or you could just make so much money that it doesn't really matter. And that'd be all right too. Amen? That'd be awesome not to have to, I'll just write a check for that. You know, like one person said, I can't be out of money, there's still checks left. Did the Bible tell us that we're going to give an account of ourselves to God? You know, there's going to come a day when God's going to reconcile the books. He's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I called you to do? And at that moment, you know, he's already going to know the answer. Okay? And at that moment, you can't go back and do the things that you were supposed to do. That means you better start doing them now. You better be about God's business now. Okay? So then he goes on to say, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Praise God. Stop looking at people. Stop judging people. People aren't your standard. Okay? But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walk you not in charitably or in love. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Oh, don't let the good that you do be evil spoken of. Did you know that in our lives we're supposed to live above reproach? We're supposed to live blameless. God told Abraham, he appeared to him, I think it was in Genesis 15, he said, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. I will be your God. Didn't he? He entered into a covenant with Abraham, and part of his covenant was Abraham had to walk blameless. Abraham had to do what God wanted him to do. And praise God that he did, amen? Doesn't mean that he was perfect. Doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right. Doesn't mean that you're not ever going to have mistakes. Abraham made mistakes. Moses made mistakes, amen? But you know what? Don't let your mistakes define who you are. Just because you made a mistake doesn't mean you are that mistake. And he goes on to say in verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Say righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is one Holy Ghost party. We're supposed to exemplify righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in our lives. But notice what he said here. He goes on to say, for he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. When you live this way, when you live not judging people, when you live keeping yourself accountable, when you live in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you're approved of God. Hallelujah. And being a vessel for God is really how you live every day. It's your lifestyle. Who's to say that tomorrow when you wake up, God's not going to require your services to minister to someone? Maybe when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to see someone who's down, or you're going to see someone who's sick, and you might have an open door to minister to them. Well, that's being a vessel of honor. Being a vessel of honor means that you're available for whenever God needs you. What if God wakes you up in the middle of the night and he needs you to intercede? And you may not even know what you're interceding for, but he just needs someone on earth to stand in the gap and to plead someone's case. I remember a story of a missionary in Panama. And at night, there were some robbers that were coming in the missionary compound. And all of a sudden, the robbers who were coming with, they had weapons, they all of a sudden stopped. And they had this scared look on their face. And the missionaries found out later that they saw these big 9-foot guys in white guarding the compound. But you know why? Someone halfway across the world was praying for them at that moment. And really, this is about making yourself available for God and his kingdom. And since Jesus is our Lord, he can call on us anytime, anywhere, any place. It is up to us. Did you know that he gave us some shoes made out of material called readiness? We're supposed to put on the shoes of readiness on our feet, and we're supposed to be ready, right? We're supposed to be ready when? In season and out of season. There is no season for us where we shouldn't be ready. If we're doing the basic things that we know to do, if we're walking with God and talking with God and listening to Him and obeying Him, then we're always going to be ready. We've got to be in a state of readiness. The second thing that helps us to be ready as a vessel of honor is we have to rightly divide the truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if there's a right way to divide it, there must be a wrong way to divide it. Paul even gave two examples of people who were in error, because they got into error because they were wrongly dividing the word of truth. Okay? So we have to rightly divide the truth. Who was the author of the truth? Who authored this book? You know, there were men that penned it on earth, but they were just the scribes, because holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you know, Peter said that this book is of no private interpretation. To rightly divide the truth means you have to interpret the Bible. You can't just take a scripture by itself. You know, one person was looking through the Bible and he wanted some encouragement, so he just closed his eyes and opened it. And he said, Judas went out and hung himself. He said, well, that's not too encouraging. So then he closed his eyes again and opened up to another place, and it said, go thou and do likewise. He said, well, that's not encouraging. There are times when you have to see who's talking, who they're talking to, and what the Bible says overall. It's so easy to take something out of context, but let Scripture interpret Scripture. How many legs does this chair have? Now, if this chair had only one leg, how well would it hold me up without my feet touching the ground? And, you know, too many people, they have a one-legged stool that they're trying to rest their faith on. Amen? You know, even Jesus said, let every word be established with what? Two or three witnesses, right? You know, when you encounter problems, the devil is like a prosecuting attorney. And you've got this problem, you've got this difficulty facing you. And it is up to you to present evidence beyond proof, okay? Just think about it. If you were in a regular court, it has to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, right? For the judge to decide in your favor. Now, if you only bring one item to evidence, that's not much to stand on. If you bring two items, you're getting a little bit better, but it's still a little shaky. If you've got three, you're okay. But if you've got four evidences, what, you know, do you realize that every author in the Bible, every writer of the Bible, you can bring as an evidence? I'd like to present a witness, Matthew. Matthew 8:17. How people were healed because it was written in the book of Isaiah. I'd like to present to you Peter as a witness. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes I was healed. See, when you encounter a problem, you bring these witnesses to testify on your behalf. But you got to rightly divide the word. You know, cults were established because the word was wrongly divided. You know, the Pharisees, they added things to the law that wasn't even in the law. And they, you know, the Bible said we shouldn't add anything or take away anything. It's good just the way it is. Peter said, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But if you want to be a vessel of honor, you have to divide the word of truth correctly. Otherwise, you'll get into error. You know, one lady was believing for a miracle. And another person asked her, well, you know, what are you believing for that makes you think that God's going to do this? And she said, just like the song said. She was quoting a song. Not a psalm, just a song that someone wrote. I don't want to present the song as my evidence. I want to present, Jesus said it is written when he needed evidence. He knew exactly how to counteract what the devil was trying to do because Jesus was one who rightly divided the word. Did you know that Jesus studied the word? Because he was able to find in Isaiah exactly where it talked about his call. He knew exactly where to look in the book. Of course, he is the truth. But Jesus brought the truth to this messed up world that he came into. I mean, my goodness, you can't heal because it's the Sabbath? We'll be having healing 6 days a week, except on this day. So if you're really sick on this day, you know, don't bother even coming to church. I'm so glad that that's not the truth. I'm so glad that God is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But we have to rightly divide the word. Don't just take the things that I say as it. You can't go and quote me and expect God to do miracles. You need to look at what I'm telling you to see if what I'm saying is true. You know, they did that to the Apostle Paul, the Bereans. He called them more honorable because they would study the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And guess what? Paul didn't get offended. He didn't say, I can't believe you're checking up on me. I can't believe you're studying. No. My goodness, don't take my word for things. Check it out for yourself. And when you do that, you're going to be a vessel that God can do great things with. You know, there was, when Saul had got converted, a light shone around him, and he was blind for 3 days. And God needed someone to go to Paul and lay his hands on him. And there was a man by the name of Ananias. And God, see, he was in communication with God because God could say, hey, Ananias, I want you to go to this place and I want you to go lay your hands on Saul. And Ananias knew who Saul was. He said, isn't he the one that comes into people's houses? And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but Ananias was a vessel that God could use. So Ananias, he walked in to where Saul was. And I love what Ananias did. He said, Brother Saul. Do you realize God used Ananias, who we don't hear much after that, but God used him to jumpstart Paul's ministry because God needed someone who was willing to go and lay hands on a murderer and a persecutor. He needed someone who was a ready vessel. He needed someone who was yielded to God. He needed someone who would just obey what God said without questions. Amen. And he went in there. He laid his hands on Saul. The scales fell off of his eyes. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he got to baptize the apostle. That's what God can do for you when you're ready and when you're a vessel that he can use, when you're useful to the master. Oh, I want to be useful for the master. And just because God used you yesterday or last week doesn't mean he doesn't want to use you again. Did you know that Christians are recyclable because God can keep using them? Amen? He'll fill you up and empty you out and fill you up and empty you out and fill you up and empty you out. And it's never ending. Thank God that we're recyclable. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says this, knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Now the people that give the message in tongues, you notice we have different people that do it. You know why? Because they're yielded to God. If you want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, you just have to be available. And God can use any gift through any believer who's available at any time. You know, there's eight other gifts other than tongues and interpretation. There's prophecy. There's the word of wisdom, but I'm not going to go into that. But my point is that when we're a vessel of God, God can operate those anytime that he needs to reach someone, to help someone, to bless someone. And God just needs people who are ready. Thirdly, the third thing that we see from this passage is the Lord knows who's his. All right? He knows who is for him and who is not for him. How many know the story of Korah and Moses? It's from Numbers 16. Well, Korah, he had this idea that Moses was taking too much upon himself. And Korah basically said, he said, you know what? We can hear from God too. Who do you think you are, Moses? Someone special. And, you know, basically Korah was rebelling against authority. Okay? And God said, I'm going to show you whom I choose. And he said for them to show up at the tent of meeting the next day. And God says, I'm going to reveal who my pick is. And Moses and Korah, they showed before the temple. Dathan, he didn't even show up. He was so disrespectful and so rebellious that he didn't even show up. Okay, he was a partner of Korah. And Korah was all up there. I'm sure he had this proud look on his face, like, oh, I can't wait to see your face, Moses. But you know what? Korah wasn't laughing at the end. And the glory of God appeared, and the glory of God picked Moses. See, Korah was trying to be someone who he was not called to be. And you know the story, the earth swallowed up Korah, his family, Dathan, and all of his people that were with him. It's not a good thing to go against God's will or plan. But my point is, God knows who is for him and who is not for him. Okay? Psalms 1:6 says, the Lord watches the righteous and the wicked perish. God's in favor of the righteous. Okay? Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 18. Psalm 37 and verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Isn't that awesome? God knows the days. You know, even though Moses was on the backside of a desert, out of the Egyptian spotlight, God knew how to get in touch with him, didn't he? God knew exactly how to communicate to Moses when no one was around. God knew exactly what to show John the Baptist. Do you know John the Baptist spent his time in the wilderness until he was unveiled and his ministry, and he started baptizing people in the Jordan? But he spent his time in the wilderness. Well, I'm not around people. How am I going to get connected? Let me tell you something. God can connect you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how to get in touch with you because the Lord knows who's are his. He's got your number. But maybe there are some qualities and characteristics in your heart that are preventing God from reaching, communicating with you. Maybe your heart is hard and it needs to be softened a little bit. You know, God resists the proud, doesn't he? But who does he give grace to? He gives grace to the humble. Moses was described as the meekest man on the earth. And thank God, meekness isn't weakness. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 10. Those who belong to God are those who do his will. Amen. John chapter 10, look at verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. God can pick out the voice of one sheep in a crowd of many. God identifies with people that are for him, that favor his righteous cause. Are you one that favors God's righteous cause? You know, Daniel never promoted himself, but he made himself available to do his thing. His thing was to interpret dreams. And the first thing, his first opportunity that he had in Babylon, he was going to be trained in all the ways of the Chaldeans. Okay? And he, first of all, he refused to eat the king's meat or the king's dainties. Right? He didn't like the king's donuts. You know? Now, he could have just ate what they were eating, but there was something inside Daniel that was telling him no. And he went with the no. How many know that you gotta go with the voice that's inside of you? You gotta go with God's voice that resonates inside of you. If you compromise that, you'll always get in trouble. But something inside Daniel said, don't eat that food. So he said, okay, I'm not gonna do it. And the people who were taking care of Daniel, they were a little bit concerned because they thought he wasn't going to look as good as the others. But after the time, he looked better, and he was 10 times wiser. How many knows it paid to listen to that voice on the inside of him? And David and Daniel didn't even have the spirit in him. And when it came time, when the king had this dream and no one could interpret, what did Daniel do? He called upon God. You know, Daniel didn't say, he didn't go in there like the lone, like the big Western guy. You got a dream? I can interpret it. Have dreams, will interpret was his business card, you know? He did not approach the king like that. He first of all relied on God because he knew that he said, God reveals secrets to men. And he called upon God, and God revealed the secret. And Daniel just did what God put in his heart to do, and that caused him to be promoted. You know, Daniel had there was a law that says you can't pray in 30 days except only to the king. And Daniel was a government official. Do you realize the moment that law was signed, he knew it. And he looked at that law and said, I don't think so. He did not give heed to that law because that law went against God's law. Let me tell you something. If man comes up with stuff on their own, it's going to be goofy. And we are not obligated to follow goofiness or foolishness. Daniel knew that it is important to pray to God, and he wasn't going to let anything stop him from praying to God. Why? Because he was a vessel that was useful for the master. He didn't mix his life with compromise. He didn't try to be like the world. He didn't try to be like his peers. He was his own man in God. Wish we had some more Daniels today. We need some Daniels. We need some Josephs in our government. But, you know, punishment for praying to someone else was being thrown into the lion's den. Daniel didn't care because he knew the lion of Judah. He knew the king lion. And when you know the king lion, no other lion's going to touch you. He was confident in that. Why? Because he was a vessel that God could use. He was a vessel of honor. Do you realize that the actions that Daniel did caused kings to put their trust in God? You know, in our world today, our world needs people who refuse to compromise. Our world today needs people who will stand up for what is right. Our world today needs people who will speak the word of God without fear and boldly. Amen. We need people today who will say what marriage really is between a man and a woman. And anything else is not marriage. Amen? Look at verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know God's voice? What has God spoken to you? I'm just getting you to think. If you know his voice, then he must have said something to you. He must be talking to you. Well, what are you doing with his voice? You got to follow it. You got to follow his voice. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. That's pretty good reward, isn't it? And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because they're listening to his voice. God's voice ought to be the number one voice that you listen to above any other voice. So when you hear a voice that contradicts what he's telling you, you need to reject that. You need to do the opposite. You need to turn from it. Look, there are all kinds of voices in this world. But our shepherd, our good shepherd, has a voice. And if you turn it, if you tune into it, you can hear it. Amen. Well, Pastor, is it audible? It can be. The Bible talks about a still small voice, talks about his voice is like thunder. His voice is like the rushing waters. You know, it all depends on what kind of a voice you need at the moment. Sometimes we need the rushing water voice. Other times we just need a still small voice. Amen? But these are things, these are ingredients, these are things that we need to be a vessel for God. These will determine whether or not you're an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel. It's important to be a vessel for God. Where God can pour into you and pour out of you. Wasn't it? One of the psalmists said, "My life is poured out like a drink offering." How long are we going to wait to be about the business that God's leading us to do, telling us to do? And I'm not saying big steps. I'm saying little steps. When you wake up tomorrow, You know, what's your focus going to be? What's involved in your day? Does God have any say into what happens in your day? Can God interrupt your schedule? Or does it matter which side of the bed you wake up on? You know? Sometimes we want to find so many excuses as to why we can't do what God's wanting us to do. I don't have time. I'm not ready. I don't know. You know, those excuses don't fly with God. The very reason that he's talking to you and telling you, he knows that you're able. So we just need to turn our hearts towards God. And we need to be a vessel of honor. Meet for his use, prepared unto every good work. Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? And he prepared works for you that you should walk in them. Good works. Did you know that God gives you good things to do? God is the author of good. God is not the author of bad. God is good. God has plans to prosper you and to give you an expected end and to not harm you. God doesn't want you. Listen, it is God's will that no man perish. But in order to be part of that, he needs vessels that he can work through. He needs vessels that are going to represent Christ wherever you are, whatever you're doing. He needs people that can smile because they have joy that doesn't come from their circumstances. Amen. He needs people that can have peace that passes understanding. He needs people that'll be strong. Amen? So why don't we stand up if we can? You know, to be a vessel of honor, I've got more things, so we're not going to be done tonight, obviously. But let's dedicate our minds, our wills, and our emotions, and our bodies to God tonight. And let's commit tonight to be a true servant of God. Let's make ourselves available for however God wants to use us in his wonderful divine plan. Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight. As we come before you, Lord, we come and we bring ourselves as an offering. Father, we commit to follow after you. We commit to renew our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we commit tonight not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in the name of Jesus. Father, we give our lives to you, our hearts. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my mind. My thoughts are your thoughts. I give you my mouth. My words will be your words. I give you my body, pure and clean. It's a vessel that your power can flow through. I give you my will. I commit to do what you want me to do. I lay all my dreams, all my thoughts down at your altar, and I take up your will for my life, and I will be a doer of your word. Not just a hearer, but a doer. I will put into action what you say. Your word will govern my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And I shall be a vessel. I shall be useful to you, Master, because I love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I can just feel debris being taken out. No longer do you have that drawer in your life that's cluttered that you can't open because it's stuffed too much full. Now it's been cleaned out. Now you can put things in there and it'll open and close like it was meant to be. Amen. And Lord, just help us to unclutter our lives. Father, so many unnecessary things. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace tonight in the name of Jesus to be upon us, to help us stand and to help us serve and to help us do what's impossible in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. There's something taking place here tonight in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You're going to see opportunities open to you. God's going to use you to be a witness to other people. God's going to use you to help someone. God's going to use you to bless someone. God's going to use you to minister to someone. God's going to use you in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Doors of opportunity are going to be open to you in greater ways. Amen, amen. Well, more about a vessel next Wednesday. So may God bless you and keep you. May he protect us all. I pray in the name of Jesus that not one of us will lose power, that we will all be kept safe, that we will not be hindered from doing what we need to do in the name of Jesus, that our barns will overflow and our vats will burst out with new wine, and we will be kept safe and warm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, you all have a good night.